This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. Joining us as they do most Fridays are Ken Sikkema, Senior Policy Fellow with Public Sector Consultants and the former Republican Majority Leader in the State Senate, and Vicky Barnett, a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator. Governor Snyder got what he wanted from the legislature this week, a so-called good jobs tax incentive. If a business creates enough good wage jobs, it can keep the money that employees pay in income tax. Ken, a lot of business groups are applauding. A lot of conservative groups and some conservative legislators are giving it a thumbs down. What are the pros and cons?
This is the exact debate, Lester, that occurred 25 years ago in the early days of John Engler as governor, when he campaigned against these kind of incentives, got elected governor, and realized that in order for Michigan to compete with other states, you had to have them. And the result is exactly the same in the sense that a majority of Republicans and a majority of Democrats in the state house agreed and passed it. The difference is the House leadership, their particular brand of conservative politics, forced them to vote against it. In the past, 25 years ago, the entire House Republican leadership voted for it. So I think that kind of the big story is the fact that House Republican leaders, other Republicans, flat out didn't agree with them.
Vicky, the governor says we need this tool to compete with other states for businesses. We've heard this before for all kinds of business tax breaks. Are these kinds of incentives effective?
It depends on what you're aiming for and what you want to do. Now, here's a governor that came into office in 2010, was sworn in 2011, and said, we're going to get rid of these tax incentives that pit businesses against communities, and we're going to instead change the entire tax system and give business owners a lower tax rate, a sure tax rate. We're going to get rid of the wild calculations of the previous MBT, Michigan Business Tax, and we're going to come in with a new tax plan. And then eventually we got to the point where we eliminated personal property taxes for businesses. So all of these taxes were eliminated for businesses, and putting pension tax on residents and raising taxes for others and eliminating tax breaks for very poor, hardworking individuals, the earned income tax credit. And now we see that he's changed his tune again and now wants business incentives for businesses on top of all of the other tax breaks, which clearly didn't do the job that the governor had wanted them to do. And so I understand the quandary that legislators are in who really want to end the pension tax for our seniors, and now they're stuck with another good jobs package. Personally, I think the good jobs package is a good package. I think it's needed. I wish it had been targeted toward industries that weren't here yet instead of other existing industries. I was a strong proponent of the film tax incentives and the digital industry tax incentives that were done away with early in Governor Snyder's career as governor. So I'm not opposed to tax breaks. I just think that this is a wild swing for a governor that has only been in office for 7 years.
Let's move on to another topic. The Department of Health and Human Services has been operating under a court order terms agreed to in a lawsuit. That lawsuit was filed by an advocacy group after deaths of kids in the care of the state. Recently, the department announced it was making good progress on the mandates of that court order. And then the Lansing State Journal started reporting that state child welfare supervisors manipulated employee caseload data to make Michigan appear to be in compliance with the court order. Ken, what's this say about Michigan's Health and Human Services Department?
Well, as you pointed out, this is a Lansing State Journal article that basically says the caseload for child welfare workers violates the federal court order. And the leadership in the department is disputing that. So you have an allegation, you have a difference of opinion, and you've got a federal judge who has control over this. You've got a federal monitor appointed by the federal judge. You've got House and Senate committees saying they're going to investigate. I mean, it's basically now getting at the truth of the matter. I mean, does the current caseload violate the federal court order or not?
Vicky, the Lansing State Journal has a lot of documentation for caseloads that were assigned to people not actually on the job. What does that mean for the kids who were the subjects of those files?
It's a devastating article in the Lansing State Journal. And not only does it list sources, it lists them by name. So clearly there are a lot of whistleblowers ready to come forward and talk about this issue and how they view it. And they're not afraid to use their own name and their own and stake their own reputation on it, which is what was so striking about this. This is an ongoing story. We had people come forward that were reported in the Lansing State Journal a few months ago about how the computer program used to track these cases is not accurate and kids are falling behind. They've talked to other caseload workers, and they've got ghost cases, which are cases that should have been closed that don't exist, or cases that were moved to them temporarily to show an even caseload distribution where there wasn't one. There have been reports of people being drug tested who lost their parental rights due to drug addiction who have not actually been tested. So there are a lot of problems here, and I think Ken is right. There's allegations. Now we have to get to the bottom of the allegations and find out what is true and what isn't. But it's very, very serious when you have the lives of children on the line. And this is not the only failure of this particular department. Don't forget, we now have criminal charges brought against the director for failure to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of Flint in the Flint water debacle. And we have these ongoing problems. I hope that they get resolved soon, and I'm glad that the legislature oversight is willing to step forward and demand information.
Ken, what kind of power does the legislature or an investigative committee have in a situation like this?
Well, legislative committees have a lot of power because they control policy under which the department has to operate, and they control the budget for the department. So I wouldn't discount any legislative investigation on this issue. And on top of that, you have the federal judge who has jurisdiction and the federal monitor appointed by the federal judge. So I've got to believe that the truth of the matter is going to get unveiled here pretty quickly. I mean, as Vicki said, I mean, clearly it's a serious charge and allegation. You got the lives of children at stake.
That's Ken Sikkema, senior policy fellow with Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican legislator. He joined us by Skype. We also heard from Vicki Barnett, a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks, Lester.